digital LEDs pulse and flicker, finally resting on the number 24.
Previously, I'm 24. And why would David Palmer call my wife about a national security threat?
You can't risk having Mrs. Logan obsess about this phone call.
Well, David Palmer called her yesterday. Our communications office will have a recording of their conversation.
Get that for me. You don't need to be concerned that there's any connection between David's death and the phone call he made to you.
He said it was a matter of national security. Those were his exact words.
Martha, it's David Palmer. I need to talk to you. It's hardly a matter of national security.
No, that's not it. That is not what he said.
Yes, it is.
I have dealt with the Martha Logan situation. I was able to alter the tape of the phone call before the president heard it. There's no longer any evidence on my end that Palmer was trying to warn her about the attack.
Sir, it's Edgar. I think we can find Chloe.
She's accessing our system to a laptop. I'm running to locate now.
What'd you get from Jan Szewinski?
He's a baggage supervisor at the airport.
Jack Bauer! Agent O'Brien! We know you're down here!
Chloe, what the hell's going on?
Jack didn't kill anybody. He's being framed to cover up the real reason Palmer was assassinated.
Where is he?
I can't tell you.
Where can I find a baggage claim supervisor?
Down that hall to the left.
Thank you. Why was President Palmer killed?
I don't know what you're talking about.
You were gonna tell me what I want to know. It's just a question of how much you want it to hurt.
Mom, do you see those men? I have to warn Jack.
Derek, where are you going? Come back here!
The following takes place between 9 a.m. and 10 a.m.
Outside the airport terminal, confusion and panic continue to reign.
We have a critical incident in progress. I want a facility lockdown and a code 5 evac right now. Clear the area.
My son is in there.
I'm sorry, ma'am. We're evacuating the area. Follow these people. Ma'am! Grab her!
Yes, sir.
Inside the terminal building, the terrorist gang are blacking out the CCTV cameras and securing the doors. One of the members of the public crouched on the floor begins to dial on his mobile phone. The leader of the gang notices this and nods to one of his men. The hostage rolls over dead. A mother tries to shield her child.
If you cooperate, you have a chance of leaving this building alive. If you do not, you will die. You understand? Take out all cell phones and pagers and drop them on the floor.
Bring them in!
The hostages are herded forward. Two terrorists drag the dead man away. Jack stalks between racks of luggage.
Szewinski!
Szewinski's body lies out the back with Jack Bauer, who watches the gang members from between suitcases.
There. Well?
Szewinski's not here.
We have to find him. Keep searching.
Subtitles read, "Let's search the other rooms." Come on, let's go. Jack continues to keep a bead on the pair. Outside, fire service trucks pull up by the still-blazing wreckage of the terrorist's van. The policeman to whom Diane had shouted that she had information for CTU answers his phone.
very carefully.
We have hostages. If you wish to keep them alive, you'll make no attempt to re-enter the terminal. We're wearing explosive vests. We're prepared to detonate ourselves along with our captives. If you make any efforts to enter the terminal, you'll spend the rest of the day collecting body parts.
The gang leader hangs up and turns back to the terminal waiting room.
Hello? Set up a security perimeter. We'll operate from the northwest apron behind Hangar 12. And get those fire trucks out of here. Everybody out. Grab that woman in the yellow next to Bailey. Bring her up here, quick.
The policeman indicates Diane. Jack slips off his bag and throws it onto the top shelf of one of the luggage racks. He then climbs up there himself and lifts up one of the ceiling panels. Shevensky's body is slumped in the corner of the floor. Jack disappears up inside the ceiling cavity, pulls his bag up after him, and then replaces the tile. At CTU, Buchanan works at his screen. Audrey talks into her mobile. 906.
Yep, thank you. Bill, I just spoke to the director of Secret Service. Now that Suvorov has arrived safely, they're lowering their security level by one.
I think we should do the same. I'll take our attack teams off standby.
Have we heard back from our unit that we sent out to the refinery?
Yeah, at least that part of Chloe's story checked out.
So it's possible that Jack was set up in Palmer's assassination.
We can't assume too much. Jack still has a lot to answer for.
Buchanan.
Mr. Buchanan, I have Jack Bauer on the line.
Put it through.
Yes, sir.
They'll put it on speakerphone. Please.
Jack, it's Bill.
Bill, I'm inside Ontario Airport. Gunmen have just attacked and taken over Terminal 1. They're carrying automatic weapons and they have hostages.
We haven't received any alerts.
Trust me, you will.
What are you doing at the airport, Jack?
I was following my lead. President Palmer knew of the planned attack. I believe that's why he was assassinated.
I just received an interagency flash. There's been an attack on Ontario Airport. First reports are of several men carrying automatic weapons and they've taken control of Terminal 1.
Go to alert level 4. Launch all available attack teams.
Curtis is in the air.
Redirect him to the airport. Have him maintain operational control the moment he's on site.
Right.
Jack, we just received confirmation of the situation. I want you out of there now, Jack.
Turn yourself in. Let our people handle this.
Understand this, Bill. I don't work for you. I'm staying inside.
You want my intel? Fine. But I'm doing this my way.
Buchanan finds this hard to swallow, but appears to concede.
How many hostiles are there?
Approximately 10 to 12. Gunmen have locked down the terminal. I'm going to be sending you photos of the hostiles. They should be clear enough that you can identify them. Hold on. Okay, they're transmitting.
All right, Jack, we'll pull a schematic of the airport and forward it to your cell.
Bill, hold on one more thing. A woman is going to contact you. Her name is Diane Huxley. I sent her and her son to CTU for protection.
Who are they?
I don't have time to explain, but I'm responsible for them. Just make sure they're safe, okay?
We'll take care of them, Jack.
Thank you. I'll be standing by.
We have to alert the president.
Right.
Audrey leaves the office. Jack is looking through a grill down onto the main concourse of the terminal building where the gang stand, weapons drawn on the huddle of hostages on the floor. Jack turns, pockets his gun, and starts to climb a short ladder back into the roof space. 908. End of part 1. Part 2.
I want to personally extend my condolences on the loss your country has suffered today.
Thank you, Mr. President. I hope that what you and I accomplish here today will serve as a fitting tribute to David Palmer's legacy. I can't imagine anything more appropriate than the two of us establishing a comprehensive anti-terrorism alliance between our nations.
Logan looks less than pleased to see Mike and Walt approaching, grim-faced.
If you would excuse me for a moment, Mr. President.
Of course.
What's up, Mike?
Terrorists are controlling the main terminal of Ontario Airport in Los Angeles. Yes, sir. There are eyewitness reports of two casualties, and they've taken hostages.
The Russian delegation speak into cell phones.
Who are they?
Unclear. CT Los Angeles is prepping a briefing. Mr. President, I suggest we move to the Situation Room.
Now?
CTU thinks this may be related to the summon.
Related in what way? I don't know, sir, but we'll find out during the briefing.
Logan can manage no firmer response than a plaintive sigh.
Sir, we should go.
Of course.
Logan fixes a smile and walks back towards Suvorov.
Mr. President, as you probably made aware, a situation has developed that requires my immediate attention.
I have just been informed. This is terrible news indeed. Please let me know if there is anything I can do.
I will. Thank you, sir.
That's all for now, ladies and gentlemen.
Spencer?
Pulling the ground plan of the terminal off the NTSB server and sending it to Jack Bauer now.
Good. Edgar, were you able to identify the terrorist from the photos Jack sent?
Still no matches on the watch list. I tried three different encoding arrays.
Did you try widening the parameters?
With any wider, we could use the phone book.
Wait, hold on a second. Try using an MP-safe adaptive search.
You okay?
Thanks for asking, Edgar.
Chloe? You've managed to rack up four protocol violations.
Well, it's a lot worse than that if you count agency dot code. It's more like 26 violations. Do you want me to figure out whose face that is? Or I could just go wait and holding.
See what you can do.
Did it work?
We got something. So for an archive from the Bureau of Consular Affairs. Anton Beresh, a former army officer in one of the Russian breakaway republics.
Which means this definitely has something to do with the summit.
I'll data mine the interagency server, see what I can come up with. DOD is receiving a localized broadcast from the airport. The networks are also picking it up.
Spencer, put it on the screen.
Citizens of the United States, today your president and the president of Russia have come together to sign what they have called an historical accord.
An anti-terrorism alliance.
We this plan will bring peace and security to their respective countries. As you'll soon learn, it will accomplish exactly the opposite.
We are acting on behalf of the oppressed people of our region. A people whose desire to be free is every bit as strong as your own. We are prepared to use every means at our disposal to achieve our goal.
I have hostages. Unless President Logan and President Suvorov make a joint statement repudiating this accord, I will order their execution. You have exactly 90 minutes.
We have to get this lunatic off the air.
Sir, we can contact the networks, but they're under no legal obligation to comply.
Jack looks down through a grill at the masked man speaking to camera.
But we are only responding to the violence that has been inflicted upon our own sons and daughters. Until we as a people achieve our own due national sovereignty, terror will be met with terror.
Logan is left speechless.
That was a live feed from the Ontario Airport in Southern California. As we just heard, the terrorists are demanding that President Logan repudiate the anti-terrorism accord.
This is insane. How do these people get control of an entire airport? We've been preparing for this summit for 16 months. Every news agency in the world is here. I've staked my entire administration on this day, and now these people are demanding that I go on national television and publicly repudiate everything we've done?
Mr. President, perhaps you should take a few moments.
Mike! I want this handled. Do you understand? I don't care how you do it. I don't care what it takes. Fix it!
Logan storms off, leaving Mike looking grimly at Walt, who hangs his head in apparent frustration. 9:14. A blue helicopter swoops into land alongside a bunch of police patrol cars. Curtis gets out and answers his cell phone.
Go ahead.
Curtis, it's Jack. I'm staring straight down on the main concourse. I've got six hostiles wearing explosive vests. Four of them are staying near the hostages. I expect their orders are to detonate if we try and make a move. The other two are roaming. I've got two security doors on the northeast side of the concourse. Both are chained, but are currently unguarded.
All right, get a recon unit over to the northeast wall. All right, Jack, I'm going to need you to quarterback this thing from inside.
Copy that.
Excuse me. Hey, I got a woman, Diane Huxley, says she has info for CTU.
Diane Huxley, who is she?
Curtis, did you just say Diane Huxley?
Yes, I did.
Is she there?
Yeah.
Let me speak to her.
I'll bring her over.
Diane is beckoned over.
Hello?
Diane, what's going on? What's wrong?
Derek is inside the terminal.
What are you talking about? I left him with you.
He saw some men. He wanted to warn you. And then I tried to go after him. There was an explosion.
Are you sure he made it all the way inside?
I don't know.
Hold on.
Jack gets out a tiny telescope and lies back down onto the grill. He scans the group of hostages. He takes a sharp breath in. Derek moves his head slightly, enabling Jack to identify him.
Damn it. I see him. He's with the other hostages, but he's not hurt.
Please don't let anything happen to him. Jack, I can't lose my son.
Diane, listen to me. I promise you, on my life, I am going to get Derek back to you. Do you understand me?
Okay.
I expect the Curtis.
Jack?
Curtis, I need to ask you a favor. I want you to let Miss Huxley stay with you at the command post.
You got it. I need you to let me know if the hostiles are just their profile in any way.
Copy that. I'll get back to you. Son of a bitch.
The hostages crouch. Diane weeps. Bill Buchanan clutches a dossier with a photo of the gang leader.
His name is Anton Beresh. He's a member of the Dawn Brigade, a separatist movement blamed for numerous terrorist bombings in Russia.
Precisely the kind of terrorist organization today's accord was designed to combat.
Bill, I have no intention of calling off this signing, much less of making a public statement to that effect. So that gives you less than 90 minutes to rescue the hostages.
We're already operating under that timetable, sir. We have a unit on the ground, and we're making an on-site assessment.
Spare the agency pattern. Just get it done.
Sir, you need to be aware.
We should be prepared to accept additional civilian casualties.
More casualties?
It's a possibility we have to face, sir.
I'm not prepared to accept any such thing. Bill, it's your job to make sure those people get out of there alive.
Mr. President, the terrorists are wearing explosive vests. They've threatened to detonate themselves and the hostages if any attempt is made to retake the terminal.
I'm aware of the situation.
Bill, have you tried initiating a dialogue with the terrorists?
Yes. What about talking to them? Have you tried that?
Beresh placed a call
to an airport police sergeant. It was a blocked number, but we're in the process of backtracing it.
Look, whatever you do, just make sure it's done by the deadline. When I put my name on that accord, I do not want to be signing the death warrant of innocent American citizens.
Yes, Mr. President. Do you have that number?
Yes, sir. We just completed the backtrace.
Try it.
Chloe nods to Buchanan, who picks up the phone. In the terminal, Derek speaks to the woman with the child. Beresh answers his phone.
Yes?
This is Bill Buchanan, director of the Los Angeles Counterterrorist Unit.
I'm listening.
The president has authorized me to speak on his behalf. I'm hoping we can resolve this peacefully.
I've told you how to resolve this peacefully. Your president must make a public statement.
I know he's considering that option.
Then we have nothing more to speak about.
There must be some other way we can address your demands.
I don't think you understand just how serious we are.
I know the president, though. Data mine that call.
Yes, sir.
Get up! Up!
What?
Bring him.
Curtis, they're moving one of the hostages.
Beresh and two other terrorists lead away a middle-aged man. Beresh pulls on his balaclava.
On your knees!
They take the hostage in front of the TV camera. Logan watches on his screen.
Oh my God.
Curtis watches horrified.
Please. I have a wife.
So do I.
No.
The murder takes place with all the banality of true evil. Logan winces and turns away. Mike removes his glasses and holds his head. Walt Cummings looks on, deeply troubled. Logan looks back at the grotesquely slumped body on the screen. Buchanan looks down. 9:24. One of the terrorists takes the victim by his feet and drags him away, staining the floor with blood as he goes. Logan turns from the screen, his pale blue eyes wide and fearful. Walt looks down at the floor and then back to the screen. A masked terrorist comes back to the group of hostages and roughly grabs another by the arm. It is Derek.
You!
No! They're moving another one of the hostages. I can't see where. I'm changing position.
Derek is rushed out and forced to his knees. One of the gang ties his hands behind his back with a plastic pull tie. Derek's mouth is half open and his eyes are blank with shock. Jack moves through the roof space in an effort to see what is going on. He can just make out Derek. Curtis also sees Derek on the TV screen set up in the van outside.
What? Yeah. Okay.
Derek?
Ma'am, please, ma'am.
That's my son.
They're gonna kill my son!
That's my son! Derek! Get out of here. My husband! No! Let me go!
Derek continues to kneel on the floor. Baresh, his face hooded in his balaclava, addresses the TV camera.
In 15 minutes, your president will get another demonstration of our commitment. 15 minutes.
I'm in position. How much longer till you're ready to move in?
At least half hour.
We're still transferring personnel from the summit.
Negative. That's too long. You need to advance your attack.
We can't. We're just not ready.
Curtis, they're gonna kill that kid.
Jack.
I heard that woman Diane's side of the conversation.
This has nothing to do with her. These people are going to continue to kill hostages until the summit deadline.
We can't risk the lives of all those hostages for this one kid. You know that.
I'm not going to jeopardize the mission. Just tell your men to hurry.
They will.
Derek seems to be close to hyperventilating. He looks down to see that he is kneeling in the blood of the previous victim. 9:26. End of part two. Part 3, 9:31. Evelyn sits with Martha Logan watching the terrible broadcasts.
Until we as a people achieve our own due national sovereignty, terror will be met with terror.
It's all connected.
Evelyn casts her a long and significant look before closing her Filofax and reaching for the remote control.
Maybe that's enough, Mrs. Logan. The doctor said you really shouldn't be watching this program.
David Palmer called me last night. He said he had something to tell me. It was a matter of national security. I think it has something to do with this.
The terrorist?
Yes. I tried to tell my husband and Walt Cummings. They think I imagined the call. So we checked the phone recordings. The conversations don't match. Someone altered the conversation, Evelyn.
Who would do something like that?
I don't know. Listen to me. You have got to cover for me. No one can know that I am gone. Do you understand me?
Where are you going?
Baresh paces in front of Derek. Jack observes them from above through his miniature telescope. He zooms in on one of the terrorists. He takes a picture of the man with his phone. Chloe picks up at CTU.
O'Brien.
Chloe, is that you?
Jack.
What's going on? Why are you answering the phone?
Mr. Buchanan needed my help with the airport crisis.
Are you alone?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna send a picture of one of the hostiles over to your screen. Hold on.
Okay, I got it.
I want you to enlarge the upper right corner of his vest.
Chloe clicks until the device in the terrorist's top pocket is clearly visible.
Looks like a secondary detonator, cell phone activated.
Yeah, so the leader can set off the charges individually in case anybody gets cold feet. I need the detonation frequency.
Okay, I'll have to ID the detonator. It could take some time.
Just get started.
Did you clear this with Buchanan?
No. Chloe, can you see the live feed?
She brings up the image of Derek struggling on his knees.
Oh my God, it's Derek.
I need your help.
Okay,
get back to you. Spencer.
I was really worried about you.
Not now. I need you to reconfigure Jack's phone to emit an alternate signal.
9:33. Audrey passes close by and looks back at Chloe and Spencer before heading into the office.
What for?
Could you just work up a procedure?
This is off protocol, isn't it?
Yes. Spencer, you have more knowledge about bandwidth processing than anyone here. I need you.
Spencer casts a look through the glass wall of the office to where Bill and Audrey are conferring over the desk. He looks back to Chloe, who grimaces at him imploringly. Edgar looks across at them, seeming to sense something is up. Spencer finally comes to work at the next screen.
Got it?
Yeah.
A White House security man strolls through a corridor and knocks.
Agent Pierce, I'm here to escort Mrs. Logan to the garden room.
Evelyn looks alarmed. She gets up from where she is sitting and approaches the door.
She's still not ready.
President Logan is expecting her 15 minutes before the ceremony. Could I speak with her?
Evelyn slowly goes to the door and opens it.
What's going on?
She's in one of her moods. If you push her, you'll make it worse.
I'll wait down here.
Thanks.
Martha gently opens a door into a hallway. She sees a man emerging from a side door. She leaves him time to walk to the door at the other end and then discreetly follows. 9:35. She opens the door through which the man has just gone. He stands in front of the urinal.
It's Mr. Burke, isn't it?
Mrs. Logan.
You work in the communications office, don't you?
Yes, ma'am.
I know that all phone conversations are recorded. Where do they keep those recordings?
The calls are recorded onto a hard drive. It's part of the central server.
Is there any chance any hard copies?
Actually, the president insists on written transcripts as backups. He's kind of old-fashioned that way.
I know. Where do they store those transcripts?
Archive room down the hall.
Can you show me?
Access is restricted.
I'm the first lady.
I understand, Mrs. Logan, but there are security requirements. You have to have an entry card.
Do you have one?
Well, yes, I do.
Can I borrow it? It's extremely important.
Mrs. Logan, I'm sorry. There's nothing I can do.
Mr. Burke, we can continue this little dance if you really want to, but you and I both know I am going to get into that room. So you can save us both the trouble and just give me your entry card.
Mrs. Logan, you wouldn't...
You know, in 3 seconds, Mr. Burke, I am going to scream louder than any woman you've ever heard in your life. 1, 2...
Here's the card right here.
Thank you. I'll return it very soon.
Mrs. Logan does her bra and stockings up again, takes the card, and leaves the poor man quaking. 9:42. Jack looks deeply worried. Diane is beside herself. Derek still kneels in front of the camera. Baresh strides out back to the concourse. Jack looks down from his vantage point in the loft and dials on his phone.
O'Brien.
Chloe, they're gonna kill Derek in less than 3 minutes. I need that frequency.
We're still trying to find the manufacturer of the detonator.
Hurry, we're running out of time.
I know, but if we don't get the frequency right, we could accidentally detonate all the vests.
I can't find a match in any of the Czech military components.
At least the German manufacturers. Jack, we're trying to narrow it down.
Head down.
All right, the first team will enter through the southeast door and split into two flanks. Primary kill shots. Take out the hostiles wearing bomb vests. Second team
enters through the southeast door and forms a protective ring around the hostages.
We'll only have a few seconds to neutralize the hostiles, so find your targets fast. Go.
What's your time frame?
We're on target to launch the assault in 15 minutes.
Understood.
Go
Baresh strides back, gun in hand, from the main concourse to where Derek kneels. He approaches him with almost a twinkle of humour in his eyes.
How old are you?
15.
Try to control your breathing. Slow down. See? Better.
Please don't kill me.
It's up to your president.
Baresh turns on his heel, leaving Derek perhaps even more forlorn and hopeless than before. The image of the desperate teenager is up on the screen in Buchanan's office. 9:44.
Bill Buchanan.
Baresh is calling from the airport, sir.
This is Bill Buchanan.
Boy hasn't long to live.
We haven't heard from the president yet. We need more time.
No. The president must announce the summit is canceled or I kill the boy.
We're doing our best to get an answer from the president. I implore you to resolve this without further killing.
This boy's blood will be on his hands.
Come on, Chloe.
Jack, we just got a match on the manufacturer. We're trying to figure out the frequency.
There's no match on the 2004 series.
It's gotta be one of these three.
Hold him! Agent Manning.
I got it.
Here it is. We've got the trigger frequency for the detonator. Go to submenu 3 on your phone.
On that submenu.
Enter this code, 6339.
Now what?
The phone needs to reboot. When it does, it'll give you a ready message. Then you press the star key, and it should send the signal to set off the detonator.
Your president has abandoned you.
I'm not getting a ready message signal.
It takes time to reflash the ROM.
Son of a bitch, come on.
I'm sorry.
Baresh raises his pistol. The gang member walks away.
I got it.
Baresh runs to check, leaving Derek alive.
Curtis, what was that?
There was an explosion in the terminal. We can't tell what it is from here.
Patch me through to Jack.
Stay in position! Keep the hostages together! Check the exits! Make sure the perimeter's secure!
Baresh moves slowly through the smoke and rubble. The corridor down which the dead terrorist took his final walk is a mess. Great chunks are missing from the walls.
It was Ibrahim's vest. Must have detonated by accident.
Jack, what's going on?
One of the terrorist vests blew up, but none of the hostages were hurt.
Were you responsible for that, Jack? Jack, answer me.
Bill, they were going to kill another hostage. I didn't have a choice. I didn't compromise my position. Now you tell me this. Are Curtis and his team on schedule?
Yes, the backup units are in position. Go time is 10 minutes.
Okay.
Everyone, pull into formation B and run circuit checks on your vests.
The terrorists are revising their formation. I'll contact Curtis in the next few minutes with final positions.
Thanks, Jack.
Mr. Buchanan, President Logan's on the line for you.
9:46. Bill collects himself.
Mr. President, the news is saying there was some kind of explosion inside the terminal.
Everything's under control, sir. Our tactical units are in position. Go time is 10 minutes.
Then what caused the explosion?
Well, we're not entirely certain, sir. We believe that our man inside may have been trying to stall the execution of a hostage. He triggered the bomb vest of a hostile.
Did you authorize this action?
No, sir. He acted independently. You should know, Mr. President, the man we're talking about is Jack Bauer.
Jack Bauer?
He was in the terminal when the terrorists attacked. He's been helping us coordinate our operation from inside, sir.
I thought that Jack Bauer assassinated David Palmer.
There's mitigating evidence to suggest that Bauer may have been framed, Mr. President.
What evidence? What are you talking about?
It's complicated, Mr. President.
Why am I only hearing about this now?
I didn't want to distract you with details that
can wait until after we'd resolve this hostage situation, sir.
You tell me everything and I will decide which details are relevant.
With respect, Mr. President, we don't have time.
Then talk faster.
9:48, end of part 3. Part 4, 9:52. Agent Pierce is still waiting outside Mrs. Logan's room to escort the First Lady to the summit.
Mrs. Logan is due in the garden room right now. Open the door, please.
Just a few more minutes.
Ma'am, it's my job to make sure she's there. If you don't open the door, I will open it myself. Mrs. Logan.
How dare you barge in here?
Mrs. Logan.
This is a private residence.
Evelyn, if something happens to Mrs. Logan, the blame will fall on you. We both know that. So I'm urging you in the strongest possible terms to tell me where she is.
Evelyn is cornered. She looks at the floor. Martha Logan sits rather indecorously on the floor of the archive room, going through a case full of documents. She finally comes across a folder which causes her to smile in relief. 9:53, Curtis walks out of the Mobile Operations Center and addresses the troops.
We're moving to ancient positions. Davies, Matthews, are your teams in place?
All teams in place. Ready to go, Agent Manning.
All right, copy. Go.
Curtis walks over to the car in which Diane sits.
Oh, my God.
It's okay, listen. Derek's alive. He's okay.
Are you sure?
I can't go into details, but he's okay. Have to go. We're mounting a rescue operation.
Thank you.
Keep an eye on her. Let's go.
Mrs. Logan is replacing folders into the document boxes she has pulled out. Into the archive room comes Agent Pierce.
They're waiting for you in the garden room, Mrs. Logan.
I can get up myself.
All right. Still need to come with me.
Whatever you say, Aaron. Whatever you say.
She slips on her shoes and squeezes past him. He surveys the chaos of paperwork on the floor. Evelyn and the hapless Mr. Burke wait outside. Martha emerges, slightly disheveled. As Pierce shuts the door, she slips the keycard into Burke's pocket with a brief grin. She takes Evelyn's arm.
I'm so sorry, Mrs.
It's
Logan.
All right.
I'm really sorry.
Evelyn, will you stop apologizing? It's annoying. Besides, I got what I came for.
9:55. Into the cloister outside the presidential apartments walks Walt Cummings. He pulls out his cell phone and, giving a look towards the security guards, dials a number.
Yes?
You have a problem at the terminal.
Explain.
Jack Bauer is inside, providing recon for CTU's rescue operation, which will launch shortly.
Are you sure?
This came straight from the director of CTU.
And Bauer was responsible for deadening the vest of one of Barash's men. Can you tell me Bauer's precise location?
No. But I know he has a connection to one of the hostages. A 15-year-old boy named Derek Huxley. I have to go. Yes, tell him that's being handled out of the press office. Thank you. Yes.
Mrs. Logan is back in her room getting ready.
Well, why the delay?
She was in one of the archive rooms.
Archive rooms? What was she doing there?
The First Lady is safe and accounted for. You'll need to ask her about anything beyond that.
Thank you, Aaron.
Pierce walks away. Walt watches him go, a sharp glint in his eye. Back at the terminal, Derek is still on his knees with a gun to his head.
CT!
Jack watches as the gunmen gather below.
What do they take in counters? Go to the west exit.
Barash dispatches the gang to new positions. Jack checks his watch and dials a number. Curtis and the troops move through shadows.
Manning.
Curtis, this is Jack. Barash has redeployed 6 men. Are you ready for final positions?
Go ahead.
4 men were deployed to the east side of the terminal in front of the ticket counter. The other 2 to the west side of the terminal in front of the emergency exits. Do you copy?
Copy.
Okay, once you deploy, I'll give you real-time updates on their positions.
All right, Jack, I'm starting the countdown. All teams, stand by to execute.
Audrey and Bill Buchanan look at the screen showing Derek. Jack moves through the loft to a new vantage point. Barash takes a phone call.
Okay.
Hostages up!
Hold on one second.
9:57, Baresh moves over to the information counter and puts down his pistol. Another of the gang comes up with a laptop.
Hold on, Baresh is changing something.
Baresh taps the keyboard.
Jack? Curtis, what happened?
I lost Jack.
What do you mean you lost him?
The connection's broken.
Can you reconnect?
I'm trying.
Baresh picks up the phone receiver from the information desk.
Jack Bauer.
Baresh gestures for Derek to be brought over.
Derek is a very brave young man. I will shoot him in the head if you don't show yourself immediately.
Curtis!
It's not going through, Bill.
Can you move in without him?
The last thing Jack said was that Baresh was moving something.
He could be moving the hostages into the kill zone.
Abort!
All teams, abort the operation. Repeat, this is an abort.
Bauer, you want to save the boy. Present yourself now.
Derek is once more forced to his knees. He pants desperately. Diane holds her head and weeps. Walt Cummings checks the papers left by Martha in the archive room. Logan, his face a tragic mask, wanders about the conference room.
Mr. Bauer! Derek has 5 seconds left to live. 4, 3...
Brush!
Jack steps out from a doorway, holding his gun above his head. Baresh slowly lowers his pistol.
I'm lowering my weapon. Secure him.
One of the gang moves across to Jack and gets his hands behind his back. The man forces Jack to his knees. At 10 a.m., the end.